Hi, this is MJ, and happy 2020. It's January of 2020, and after almost a year now, I picked this up and just re-listened to my last podcast, and it's been April, and I thought I was going to do this like every month, and that never happened. But I just re-listened to that last one I did last April, and I went on to look at my listens and, iTunes, which I've never done, at least in the last year, and I see some comments from people that said so relatable and thank you so much for sharing, and I just wanted to kind of reach out again if you're still listening. I don't know who you are, but I want to thank you for that feedback, and I'm so sorry that I didn't even see it until today. My podcast, such as it is, has been the last thing I've even thought about for a while now, but something brought me back to it today. So whoever has listened over the past few months or heard these episodes for the first time, and there's so many more than I would have thought for my little rinky-dink podcast here in Austin. I just want to say thanks and thank you for your comments. And I do know it's really nice to have somebody that you can relate to and their little struggles, but I just thought I'd s do a quick shout out and say hey. And I wish there was a way I could communicate with you personally because I think I'm probably better at that. But anyway, hi. And so here's what I've been up to since last year. I think as I mentioned on my last podcast so long ago, that Fort Worth podcast, which I have something funny to tell you about that jerk that sent me that text, by the way. I've really just been immersed in my job, and I talked about that the last time, I know, quite a bit, but things are good. We went through a super bumpy summer where I thought I was losing my job that I had just gotten, due to no fault of my own, but touching back on the career thing, and as you're aging, man, and like I said, I work for a startup. We have had some ups and downs. We had a great, when I first started there, we were doing amazing. I work for an app. It's an app on your phone. I won't call it out because I don't really want to identify myself that much, but we were super like number one on the apps when I first started that fall. And then last year they projected like an incredible 2019, had huge goals to hit and failed miserably. And so they laid off a ton of people. I was going to be one of them. Long story short, I now work for a CEO instead of the CFO and president. But things just, I thought things were going down the toilet for me there, and I was pretty nervous and upset about it and scared again, thinking, how am I back in this place all over again? But life has a way of turning you on your head, and I ended up staying there, and I still work there, and we're doing better than ever right now. But as before, I take nothing for granted. I think my job's probably harder than ever. I work for a very driven individual, very high expectations and pretty cool guy, but man, a lot of work. But he's great, but it's just a lot. It requires a lot of me, and I do like that. I like rising to the occasion, and I can learn a lot from him, and I do on a daily basis. And so, like my last podcast, I still do my morning meditations and try to stay balanced and calm before I go into the office. But that's only recently kind of restarted because when I started working for him last September, I quit all that because I was so stressed out. I was just so nervous about working for this guy and what, could I do it? You know, would I be able to fill my predecessor's shoes? You know, the bar was pretty high. And what I noticed was over that past 4 months from September to December, I was sick 4 times and I'm never sick. I was extremely stressed. I felt like I was going to have a stroke or a heart attack or something, and just a lot of anxiety. And then around Christmas, when I finally had a little break, you know, I went back in this January, like, you know, right after New Year's, and sat down and said, hey, you know, we were talking about his goals. I was asking about his New Year's goals, and it kind of led to mine. And I said, you know, I really need to integrate some of my old rituals back into my life. And I feel like I have not had the time to do that. And I'm extremely stressed and I've been sick, and that is not me. And so, you know, surprise, surprise, I got a lot of support from him. So I've re-entered that world again for myself, my morning rituals of meditating and writing in my book and writing my intentions and my goals, and just the things, mostly what I write are the things that I'm grateful for. And usually my number one thing to be grateful for every single day is that I woke up. You know, just that I woke up is an amazing thing. And that I woke up in a home and I have food in my refrigerator and I have my eyesight and my hearing and my limbs and, you know, I have friends and I've got a job to go to. So no lack of things to be grateful for. But I've really tried to start this new year off once again, as I'm sure many of you have, with your intentions and your goals. But just to touch, you know, back on my drinking, I'm just to check in here. I'm still doing really well. I, once in a while, not going to lie, have overdone it, but nothing to the point of embarrassment or regret. And again, as I said in my last podcast, I've been very, very, very good at monitoring myself and when it's time to go home or when to stop, limiting during, you know, any event. I eat more now before I go out. I have a water between drinks. If I feel like I'm getting to that point in the night where I'm going, crossing that line, I've been aware of myself enough to know that I need to go home and I'll call an Uber. So I'm doing pretty good. And during the week, you know, very, very mellow during the week. Again, because of my work, I'm up so early and I go to bed so early. I'm pretty exhausted all the time from my job. So that's been really great for my previous drinking career, as far as that's concerned. So, you know, again, you know, one of the reasons that I kind of resumed that and decided AA wasn't for me, if you've listened to the podcast, then you kind of know already, but I really did miss my old life. And I enjoy having a cocktail, and I like, you know, going to a bar to listen to a band and having a couple of drinks. And so I have been able to maintain that lifestyle without going to that edge that I used to go to pretty frequently, you know. And it, maybe it was that, you know, summer almost 2 years ago now, where I was kind of scared into going to AA and thought I really had a really huge problem. And I'm not saying I don't have a problem. I have definitely have issues around alcohol. I'm just trying to manage it, you know, and I'm doing okay. But I'm very, very, very well aware that I could cross that line again. And I think for me, and I said this the last podcast, was the key for me is staying busy, staying very occupied, having a job to go to, having things lined up in my future, having plans. When I'm left with time on my hands and no direction and, you know, nowhere to focus my attention, that's when I get lost. And that's when I start you know, boredom is my enemy and I will go find my fun and it's not always going to be good. So I really do try to have a plan, have something lined up for a weekend, even if it's just one event out of a weekend. I don't want to be busy every moment. I like my quiet time. But I think if you are a person who likes to drink to excess, you've got to have a lot of structure in your life. That's my thinking anyway. That's what I believe, is that you need structure and accountability in other areas of your life. Now, that may not be true for everyone, and you may have that structure and still have issues. And, you know, I think I walked that fine line for a really, really long time. But it was when, again, that structure kind of was taken away with my daughter going to college and losing my job. And I now see that those were the vulnerable times in my life when my tendency to excess really rears its head. So I try to be cognizant of that. And, you know, just, I'm really, I think, just more in tune with my thinking and my, how my, where my mind will take me if I'm not careful. So it probably sounds exhausting to a lot of you, but you know, I'm an inward thinking person anyway, so it's not that hard for me, but you know, I'm always very, very well aware of what I'm doing and why and when and how. And, you know, I'm probably a little bit too self, you know, focused. However, I would love for there to be a way for me to hear your stories. I really want to try to figure that out. So bear with me. I know I'm like the every few months podcaster, but I guess this, I like this being my little journal, even if it's just every few months. So going back to this dude, I just need to tell you this story. Remember the guy I told you about when I was on the date and he crept up on my Instagram after our date and decided to send me that 60-day sober post with the comment, would have been better sober, that asshole. Well, that was almost a year ago. And good riddance to him. But so a few months after that, I was putting on a half a day offsite for my boss and a group of people at our office. And I was at a hotel in Austin, completely different hotel than our date. And I had just gotten everything set up and I was going to head back to our office. I grabbed a Diet Dr. Pepper and was kind of in the lobby and I was waiting for the valet to bring my Jeep around. And I was standing there and I saw this guy at the front desk. And I thought, man, he looks familiar. And I thought he kind of looks like that guy that I went on that date with. But it was so out of context. He's from San Francisco. We were in Austin. He was in a suit, you know, which I'd never seen him in before. He just had the same general look, but I kind of just brushed it off, thinking, you know, he just looks kind of similar. Well, must have been a week or so. Could have been even 2 weeks later. He sends me an email. He still had an email that he sent me, that he had sent me, you know, from some New Orleans recommendations, like when I first met him. And he sends me an email just out of the blue. I couldn't figure out at first who it was from because I didn't recognize the email address, but it said, like, what are you doing at the, you know, Grand Duca, which is a hotel? Why the Grand Duca? And I thought, who is stalking me? Who's creeping on me? And, I didn't reply. And I went into the email and I did a search to look at any other emails that I might've gotten from this person. And sure enough, it was that dude. And, you know, I don't know. I'm telling you, I just thought it was funny, that this creep that sent me that, horribly mean text after our date had seen me at that hotel middle of the day, decided to find my email and creep on me once again. But just a reminder, there's a lot of weirdos and creeps out there. And so that, my friends, was a blessing in disguise that that date turned out so poorly, because it saved me probably a lot of heartache down the road, because I was able to walk away. And speaking of walking away, another thing I want to share with you was a really, really big deal for me this year. And it took me about 9 years for this to happen. But this is sort of along the lines of trying to look inward and make positive changes in my life and really take away a lot of the things that are causing me distress, causing me any pain whatsoever, any feelings that reinforce my own feelings of a low self-esteem that I've, you know, tried to combat pretty much my whole life. I do pretty good at it most of the time, but once you have that, I don't know, you deal with it your whole life. And I think the last few years have been gravitating to men in particular that do not, they're the enemy of my self-esteem. And so there has been this one particular guy that I, for 9 years, I was hung up on him, and we had the most unhealthy relationship. And, you know, he was somebody fairly well known, and I was, I think, enthralled by his swagger and by his stature within his peer group and fans and all of that. And he was a musician, of course. And, you know, from the moment I met him, I was swept off my feet from the second I laid eyes on him. And we just had an incredible attraction. And so for years, I thought that meant something, you know, that his meager crumbs that he would throw my way, that meant that he really cared about me deep down, that he really loved me on some level, that his, you know, ignoring me, his disappearing, his making plans and then not showing up, his lies, all of the things that went over the course of the last 9 years, that would hurt me so badly, and I would make excuses, and I would think, you know, deep down he really cares, because he wouldn't keep coming back if he didn't. And despite a mountain of evidence to the contrary, all my friends hated him. All my friends thought, he's such a jerk. He's such an asshole. Why do you keep letting him into your life? I can't tell you the number of times that my response to him on a text was, what a fucking asshole. But yet I would still let him come back, because he had a grip on me. He had a hold on me that bordered on emotional abuse and on, you know, I can only liken it to an abusive relationship. We weren't in a full-on relationship by any means. You know, I look back on it now and I realize I was a convenience for him when he was, you know, in the neighborhood, or it was too late at night, or he was drunk, or even though, you know, all of the plans were, during the day and he'd make plans, he would always pull the rug out from under me. You know, I would say 80% of the time. You know, you're probably listening to think this, like, she must be a real, you know, what a pathetic woman. But there was something about him that really hit my vulnerable spot. in so many areas, and I can only say that it was probably, you know, I mean, I can trace it back to my own father, but I don't, this isn't a psychiatrist, you know, or psychiatric podcast. I'm just trying to be raw and relate and tell you something that was really a big achievement and very important for me last year. And I'm sure a lot of you can relate to this, having somebody in your life that is so completely toxic and so unhealthy, who you feel like a, you know, you feel less than, you feel unworthy. And I think the biggest thing that makes me almost cry right now is how long I let myself, this dialogue in my mind of what's wrong with me. What's wrong with me that he doesn't want me? And, you know, my friends, bless their hearts, who listened time and again to stories of this guy and how he'd hurt me, you know, would say, it's not you, you know, it is him. And I said, well, you know, he seems to have such a huge fan club and everybody loves him. And, you know, he's got girls, you know, every night of the week if he wants, and everyone thinks he's amazing. You know, it must be something wrong with me. And, you know, to this day, I still struggle with that a little bit. So this was my nightmare for 9 years. And last fall, and I have said I've hit the wall with him a number of times and said no more, but something switched in me last fall, and I can only really think I can attribute it to my strength that I've gained again in working again and feeling like I have a purpose, like I have a place to go, like I'm making my way in the world again, that I'm responsible for my own, you know, future and destiny, and that I deserve and want something better in my life. I was able to finally say no more and mean it. And he has, you know, I've blocked him. And then I found out he could still reach me through my Mac. I blocked his texts, and I realized he could still ping me on my Mac or my iPad. And so I had to get to the point where it didn't matter. And, you know, I heard from him the other night, even Saturday night, always late at night. And I've told him time and again, I'm done. You know, we're done. There's no more. I am not here for you. This is not for me. I wish you well. Goodbye. But he still keeps trying. But I'm finally in the place where I need to be, where I can say, so long, motherfucker. Because that's what he's been to me. And I don't wish anybody ill, but I know that I've been too forgiving and too kind and too open and basically a doormat, as a lot of my friends would call me, which it's shocking to me because I'm such a badass in so many other areas. I just got my motorcycle license last fall and bought my own motorcycle a week later. And you know what? There's a chick on a bike. You're a little bit of a badass. Sorry, not sorry. But that was super empowering. But, and I'm, you know, I've traveled across the country. I've hitchhiked across Australia, for Christ's sake, by myself. You know, 2,000 kilometers on my own when I was 28 years old. I've had a child on my own. I am such a badass in so many areas, but this guy was my kryptonite. And that is the best word I can think of for somebody like that in your life. So I am here to be your sister in whatever you're going through with some jerk or jerk-ess in your life. You have it in you too. When you are at that point, dump that fucker. Because now I look back and I know I can't undo time. I can't turn back time. But the fact that I wasted 9 years on this loser, and I can't get that 9 years back, but I can change the next 9 years of my life and not make it 10 years or 11 years or 12 years, because that's exactly what would happen. I still think about him, but it's with more a feeling of release and just a little regret that I ever let myself get that drawn in to that horrible, emotionally abusive and toxic relationship, such as it was, that, you know, fed off of each other, because I was a participant in that. And I'm not a victim here. I was a participant and a willing participant in that. You know, and that is on me. But I am saying to myself that I no longer want to be a participant in that sadness in my life and that hurt in my life. And so, you know, I've come to believe that, you know, we are what we think about. Thoughts become things. I'm focusing my thoughts in a more positive direction. And that's what I meditate on every day. It's what I write about every day, whether it's about money, about relationships, just gratitude, my health, the things I want. I'm focusing my thoughts on and my actions on things that I want, things that I deserve, things that are healthy for me, and not focusing my time crying about somebody who treats me like dirt, like a dirt sandwich. You know, how I let myself be treated like a dirt sandwich, by a dirt sandwich for so long. And that, you know, my friends, was my, besides getting my motorcycle and learning to ride like a badass bitch, was my biggest accomplishment of 2019. And I'm damn proud of it. And, you know, better late than never. I know without one doubt in my mind that there are many of you, whoever is listening, can relate to this. And those things in our lives, such as that, low self-esteem, drinking, that's all tied in together. They're not exclusive, mutually exclusive. They're all wrapped in together. When you can, you know, target one thing, area of your life to empower yourself, that it does affect other areas of your life. And it starts just like a downward spiral can spin, an upward spiral begins to grow. And I that's what's been happening. And that's what it's taking effort and it's taking deliberate thought and deliberate action on my behalf every day. But the result is that I was able to weather a extremely stressful summer with my work, come out of it in a better position than I was, making more money, not being unemployed after all, but making more money, and actually happier with who I was working for. Still stressful, but you know, a little stress is okay. But also able to continue to improve my relationship with my daughter, which has always been good, but as I mentioned, we went through a couple of rough spots. We're still working on that, but we're good. But every time I do something that feels empowering to myself, I know I'm in an even better place, and that helps me control other areas of my life that were self-destructive. So I just wanted to share that and say happy 2020 to you all, my friends, and that I'm still here. And you know, I don't know when I'll post next, but I just felt like doing that tonight. So love you. And leave me a comment or something if you can. I don't know how to do that still. But anyway, I'll see you later.